Amen. Dear Lord, thank you that we can be here. Thank you that you have called this conference. That's why we want to stop. We want to set our eyes upon you. In these hours that we are here, don't let anything distract us, neither internally or externally. Lord, we pray for you to give us something that we have never seen before. Lord, save us from our concepts. Save us from thinking that because we have heard some terms, we know, but we have not experienced. Allow us not only to know, but also to experience in these few hours, Lord. You be the center. You be the circumference. You be the focus. You be the first. Be you all. That's why we don't forget your enemy. We pray that you will restrict the enemy during this time. Even this place might be sanctified. So you can have an audience in which you can liberate your burden for this weekend. Open the scriptures to us. Make us like the ones that were walking with you to Emmaus. Open the scriptures. We want this weekend for our heart to be burning inside of us for the revelation that we see from your precious person of what you are, Lord. Amen. It is good to be here this weekend. That's why we must be paying attention to the Lord, because he is the focus of this conference. As you see in your outline, the general title is to know and to experience the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. Furthermore, we will develop this title, but I want to begin by mentioning in the introduction, by saying that these messages were liberated during the Thanksgiving conference last November and December in the city of Houston, Texas. These messages are not an isolated message. Oh, that we heard a message and now we're going to hear another one. This message forms part of a series of messages that have been being liberated in the Lord's recovery since 2018. In the International Conference of Chinese-Speaking Saints, the general outline was that the aim of the Lord's recovery is to produce one new man, to produce one and only one new man. Then in the conference, the Memorial Day conference, the general theme was the spiritual warfare of the church as the new man. And finally, in November of 2018, the general theme was the reality of the body of Christ in the Thanksgiving Conference of 2018. In 2019, began with the Chinese International Conference, where the theme was to live in the reality of the body of Christ. When we speak of the new man, and we speak of the body of Christ, we are speaking of two aspects of one same thing, of one same person, the body and the new man. Then, in the Memorial Day Conference of 2019, the theme was the experience of Christ. Then, then in the training for the responsible saints that was carried out in Bangalore, India. The title was The New Man, which is only one, fulfills the purpose that God had when He created man. And finally, it is in the Thanksgiving Conference of 2019, we have how to experience the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. For 2 years, the Lord has been liberating to His recovery a series of messages that centers in what is the burden for the Lord during this time. The burden of the Lord during this time is to build up the church as the body of Christ, which is nothing else but the new man. When the church as a new man is built up, and the new man has manifested itself, that means that the bride is ready and the Lord comes back. It is the context and the background of this series of messages. So what we're going to speak this weekend, as far as knowing and experiencing the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, it is looking towards the manifestation of the new man. The message that is going to be shared tomorrow in the second section has as a title, To Know the All-Inclusive Christ. We are here for the new man. All the emphasis of the messages is the production. We have to consider what is our perspective about Christ. We have to answer to ourselves a question that Paul made to the Lord when he met him on his way to Damascus. Who are you, Lord? The Christian life rotates around our answering that question, who is the Lord for me? Who is this? Last night we spoke with the saints, with the brothers, in 325, where the Council of Nicaea was carried out, the matter that was produced among the churches that Constantine had to call that council was, is to realize who is this person that lived on the earth and had a human living and was resurrected. Was he a man or was he God? That was a great dispute. Who was this person? One would say that he was a man. Another one would say, no, he's God. But you know what the conclusion was? That he was God and that he was man. 100% man and 100% man. Lord, who are you for me? What is my experience with you? God chose Paul. And in Acts 24:14, when he is testifying to a bunch of people that had captured him because of his testimony, in Acts 24:14, he says, God sent Ananias 3 days. 3 days after that he experienced with the Lord. And one of the things that Ananias said, God has assigned you from beforehand so that you would know His will. So that you would know His will. And in the first message of this conference, we're going to consider, and here's the title of the message, the will of God concerning the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. It took Paul a lot of revelation to be able to experience the will of God that is related with knowing and experiencing this Christ. And for this, sometimes the Lord has to arrange an atmosphere, and he arranged an atmosphere for Paul. He was in Caesarea in prison for 2 years, and he had a long trip to Jerusalem, chained. But because of that atmosphere, environment, perhaps you're in a difficult environment, and it was difficult for you to come to the conference. But when we are in a hard environment, the Lord can do something. He can reveal this Christ to us. And in the midst of this hard environment of being in jail, the Lord gave Paul a lot of revelation to the point that he was able to write three wonderful epistles related to this wonderful person. And these were Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. He had already written Galatians, and together with Galatians, these four epistles are known as the heart of the divine revelation. But these three, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, were written while Paul was in jail. It's in the epistle to the Philippians that Paul says, I know that because of your prayer and the abundant supply of the Holy Spirit, this jail time is going to result in a salvation. What salvation was this going to be? For me to live is Christ. So every experience that we have, even if it's negative, it is with a purpose that we can have a revelation and an experience of Christ. So from there comes the general of this conference. In the study of Colossians, when Brother Lee gave this life study, but no, Colossians only has four chapters. It's very short. We considered last night with the brothers that you can write that epistle, you can read that epistle in 20 minutes. But the revelation of Christ requires all eternity to be able to experience it. I'm going to dare to ask you a question. How many of you that were there read the epistle last night or this morning? Oh, that is encouraging. What did you think about that epistle? So for the rest of you, I encourage you that as soon as the meeting is over, during the evening or tomorrow, that you would read the Epistle of Colossians. Read the whole epistle. Experience tells us that it won't take you more than 20 minutes. And if you're slow like me, maybe 21 minutes. But I assure you that your appreciation of the letter to the Colossians will be different. And your appreciation of the person of Christ will be different. The title says, to know and experience in the all-exclusive, extensive Christ. The first conference that Brother Lee gave in the U.S., from there came out a book, The All-Inclusive Christ. But what about that experience, that extensive experience during this weekend? We won't only see that Christ is not only all-inclusive, but that he's also extensive. And in a few minutes, we'll see that the whole universe was created to illustrate for us the vast of Christ, how vast Christ is. And Ephesians 3:18 will see that the measurements of Christ are greater than the measurements in the universe. Brother Albert shared last night, the scientists say that the universe is still extending. Some say that the extension will stop, but it's been extending for millions of years. You know why? Because this Christ is more extensive than the universe. The universe is there to show us the will of God. Why do we need to know this Christ? Because our experience of Christ is going to be limited by the knowledge that we have of Christ. As we have greater knowledge of Christ, we will have more experience of Christ. So we should not let this weekend that our experience should be limited, but we should pray. We should pray, Lord, I need to know you more, to the point that my life will not be the same as before, that my life will not be as before, because as greater knowledge, greater experience, to the point that this Christ becomes our constitution and gets to be gets to the point that everything in our natural life is replaced by this Christ. This Christ that is all inclusive and all extensive. In order to give you a summary of the first outline, I would like to refer to the key statements for the 2000 Thanksgiving Conference, 2019. The first one talks about the first message. So if you don't take anything from the first outline except this affirmation, it's enough. I'm going to read it for you, and you will follow. God's will for us. The title of the will is related to God's will for us. God's will for us concerning the all-inclusive, extensive Christ is that we would know Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, be saturated with Christ, and have Christ become our life and person. When the Lord has a group of people, He knows the number that Christ should be their life and their person. That is the building of the body of Christ and the manifestation of the new man, because the body of Christ is related to life, and the new man is related to the person. Every body has a life, and every body has a person. That body and that person, that life and that person are mixed. Because when the life leaves your body, your person is gone from your body. Your person is gone from your body. So, dear saints, so I want to encourage you that we keep an atmosphere of prayer, because we are going to be here less than 24 hours. But if we can enter into this marvelous Christ in less than 24 hours, He can do so much in us, because He is all-inclusive and extensive. And for Him, time is nothing. And in time, He can do so much as far as showing us everything that He is. So I want to summarize in 2 points. The first point, that the veils of our eyes and of our understanding be removed so that we can see a Christ that we have never seen before. Oh, dear saints, even as I speak these words, I am praying. I want to see you, Christ, as I have never seen you. I want to see you this weekend. I want to see you that way this weekend, because that not only will change our Christian life, but our human life also, because we were created for that. The outline will give us details. We were created for that. The second aspect of this conference and of these outlines is to discover what is the will of God. The will of God. Sometimes we emphasize in wondering, what is the will of God for me? What is the will of God as far as marriage? Who should I marry? The sisters and the brothers, even when they're at conference and they're single, they're looking around. Who is it, Lord? Which one of these is of these brothers or sister is the will of God for me? We're not going to talk about those wills. It's true that the Lord has someone for us. But that is not the will of God. Because that's the will of God. That's for me. But now we're going to consider God's will for God himself. What is his will? What does he want? So don't worry about the automobile. Don't worry about debts. Don't worry about anything else. But just set your eyes on the will of God. But what is this? What is God's will? For this, we have to go to the scriptures. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, you are worthy, our Lord and God. Because of this will, everything has been created. The universe was created because of that. What is the will of God? The will of God comes out of his good will, his desire that he had. In eternity past, he had a desire that became his will. He became what he wanted to do. And that will that he wanted to do. So a determined counsel came about where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had such a kind of meeting regarding the will of God. And from that council came out how that will was going to be carried out. And we call that God's economy. That is the arrangement. But you're still asking me, what is the will? That determined will, determined that of the three, the Son was going to have the preeminence. And from then on, everything is focused on the second of the Trinity. Even in the day of baptism, when they are baptizing him, the Holy Spirit descended, and a voice was heard that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have pleasure." This means that the only thing that pleases the Father is the Son. And here we see what the will of God. The will of God is Christ. Then the Lord took the disciples to a mountain, and he transfigured. He was transfigured in front of him. And for an instant, he took out his human outfit, and he showed his glory. He showed his body in glory. And there was Moses and Elijah, and Peter, John, and Jacob were surprised. And something occurred to Peter. Peter said, "This is so good here that we're gonna make three tabernacles, three tents, one for Elijah, one for you. When Peter said, a cloud covered them. When the cloud is removed, there's a voice from heaven saying that Moses is no longer there and Elijah was not there. And the voice said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Hear him." That was showing that the prophets are not the center. Moses and the law is not the center. The son is the center. The son is the will of God. The only thing that satisfies God is the son. That's why all things were created for the son. So then everything, the son would have the preeminence and that he would fill all in all. Ephesians 1, verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will, Ephesians 1, 9, his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, the will, but immediately in verse 10, Paul says, of heading up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth. Saints, if you didn't know, today we know the will of God. The will of God is Christ. The will of God is that Christ should fill all. So in verse 11, in 9 and 10, he speaks about what he had purpose. And in 11, he said, in whom also we were designated as an inheritance, having been predestinated according to the purpose of the one who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So for that, we were created for Christ. We were created for him. God's desire was to have a corporate entity for his son, Jesus Christ, which on one hand was an entity that would represent him in life, but it would also be his counterpart, his complement. His counterpart was for him. Everything is for Christ. We have not gone into the outline yet, but I want to emphasize this burden this weekend that we need to know and experience this Christ, all inclusive and extensive, for which everything was created, for whom everything was created. So with this introduction, we're going to read together point number one. God is a God of purpose, having a will of his own pleasure, and he created all things for his will, that he might accomplish and fulfill his purpose. What is his purpose? We already read first chapter 4, verse 11. Now I'm going to read chapter 3, verse 9 and 11. To Paul, it was given the grace to announce the mystery and to enlighten all that they may see what the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things, in order that now to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenlies, the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church according to the eternal purpose which he made in Christ Jesus our Lord. There are two things that are outstanding: the economy of God, the arrangement of God to carry out His purpose, His will, that is Christ and the Church. That makes this mystery known in God through the ages. So we have heard the expression, Christ is a mystery of God, and the Church is a mystery of Christ, and Christ and the Church are the great mystery. And this is related to carrying out God's will. We were created to carry out God's will. God's will is that Christ should have the preeminence in everything. Letter A says, God's will is God's wish. God's will is what He wants us to do. And God, once again, in Ephesians 1:10, wants to bring together all things in Christ. The things in the heavens and the things on the earth. He wants to unite my marriage in Christ. He wants to unite my family in Christ. Christ is the person where everything are united and everything are headed up by Him. You know what the problem is in the universe? You know the problem on the earth? You know the problem in Puerto Rico? The problem in Puerto Rico has nothing to do with what you're thinking. It is that things are not united under one head. The problem in the U.S., in Russia, in Europe, is that things are not united under one head for which all those things were created. Letter B says, God's good pleasure is of God's will. His good pleasure is embodied in His will. God's will is His determination for the carrying out of His purpose. Don't think this is a game of words. Every one of these words has a very profound meaning related to the will of God. God has made known to us the mystery of His will through His revelation in Christ. That is, through Christ's incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. God works all things according to the counsel of His will. God's will is His intention, and His counsel is His consideration of the way to accomplish His will. And that results in His economy, in His administrative arrangement, so that Christ should be the center, and as we will see in a few minutes, so that Christ should be everything, all and in all. I'm reading this quickly because the burden of this message is Romans 3, where I will take most of the time. Colossians is a book concerning the great eternal will of God. Roman numeral number 2. That book is so significant that in the life study, that the book of Colossians has a position that no other book has in the Bible. And it is a book where the most ample revelation and complete of Christ is made. There's no other book in the Bible, even though it's only 4 chapters, that presents this all-inclusive and extensive Christ as Colossians. So he asked the audience at that time that when they got to the book of Colossians, to make a point of how many times Christ is mentioned in that epistle. I want to read this verse that is very new for me. That's why Paul in Galatians 1:9 says the following. He's saying us also, and he's talking about Timothy, Epaphras, that he had brought information about Colossians. Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf. It says about that we should be fulfilled with a full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That we should be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Spiritual understanding. This is at the beginning of the letter. Paul prays for the Colossians, but in chapter 4, verse 12, at the end of the letter of the epistle, Paul says, Epaphras, who is one of you, Epaphras was one of the ones in Colossians. Paul did not found this church in Colossians, but through Epaphras. He heard about them. And at the beginning, he prays that they should have the full knowledge. At the end, he writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a slave of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayer, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Paul speaks about the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, and Epaphras prays that they can be complete and perfect in the complete will of God. Dear saints, I think we should be like Paul, and the churches in Puerto Rico should do as Paul did and like Epaphras. We should all pray so we can have the full knowledge of the will of God, and that we can be found mature and fully assured in all the will of God. When the Bible speaks about the will of God, is everything that Christ is, we should ask ourselves, do we know what everything that Christ is? And if we know it, have we experienced everything that Christ is? I'm going to read a few verses of the Bible in Colossians, and we will see that we know very little. And we have experienced very little of this all-inclusive, extensive Christ. But have an encouraging word. If we are listening to this word, it's because there is hope for us, so we can get to know and experience. The Lord is giving us this opportunity because the Lord is not back yet. So we still have a chance. We have an opportunity to know and experience the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. Letter A mentions, the will of God mentioned in this book is not His will in small matters. It is the eternal will of God, the great will of God. Colossians reveals what God's will is according to His desire and intention in the whole universe, in creation, in redemption, in the present age, in the coming age, and in eternity. Even with eternity, He will still be the center. Because even in eternity, the throne is of God and of the Lamb. We know that the Lamb and God are one, but this Christ will always have the preeminence because from the throne of God comes the river of water. That is Christ as the Spirit flowing. And on both sides, of the river are the tree of life. It's a tree of life. For all eternity, we're going to be eating and drinking of Christ. Don't think that this will be over with glorification. We think that, oh, with glorification, I won't need Christ anymore. Because he will dry up every tear. Dear saints, in everything, he has to have the preeminence. Another illustration. Sometimes some of the saints ask, Brother, will you pray for me? Are you going to pray for me? Answer me, please. You're going to pray for me. Then a week later, you say, we come back and we say, Brothers, did you pray for me? And then they say, oh, I'm sorry, we forgot. And then we say, oh, nobody prays for me. Nobody cares about me. But Hebrews 7:27 says that he lives to intercede for us. In this moment, somebody is interceding for you. And that is the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. So don't say that nobody prays for you. Let us see. We need to be filled with the full knowledge of God's will. We already read Colossians 1:9. God's will in Colossians 1:9 is his will regarding his eternal purpose, regarding his economy concerning Christ. That Christ should have a corporate expression with his life and nature, and it should be his counterpart throughout all eternity. But it is for Christ. So he can be satisfied. This is God's will. Number two, to have the full knowledge of God's will is to have the revelation of God's plan so that we may know what God plans to do in the universe. That's why we need to pray, Lord. I need more spirit of wisdom and of revelation to see what you want to do in the universe. He wants to submit everything under this wonderful person. Letter A, God's plan is to make Christ everything in the divine economy. The revelation of God's plan opens the way for us to have more experience of Christ, to know the more we see, the more we will experience. God took Abraham to a place and said, look at all that land. All that land that you see will be yours. We know that that was the land of Canaan that typifies the all-inclusive Christ. Therefore, we need to pray, Lord, I want to see more of you. I want to see more of you because the more I see, the more I will possess. Open my eyes. Remember that Paul was blind, was made blind, but even though he was physically blind, he was having revelations of this wonderful person. Number three, to know and experience the all-inclusive, extensive Christ requires all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Understanding and spiritual wisdom are of the Spirit of God in our spirit. Wisdom is found in our spirit. What is wisdom? It is the perception in our spirit of something of Christ. The perception in our spirit. But that's not enough. Wisdom is in our spirit to perceive God's eternal will. Spiritual understanding is in our mind, renewed by the Spirit to understand and interpret what we perceive in our spirit. What is this? I have a time with the Lord. I am enjoying him, and I perceive. That I need to be closer to the Lord, because there are things that I have not yet seen. As I have this spiritual perception, we need for our mind to be renewed so that we can understand how I can have a more intimate experience with the Lord. Spontaneously in our mind, we have a thought, I need to pray more. Dear saints, that experience that every person has that moves away from Christ, or even if they have fallen into sin, how was your prayer life? We ask them, how was your prayer life? How were you searching the Lord in the Word? I have not yet found one person that has said to me, oh, I was praying and I was in the Word, and that's why I went astray. That's why I stopped meeting. That's why I was having problems with the saints, because I was seeking the Lord in the morning and I was dedicating time to be in the Word, and that's why I was fighting with the saints. No. We need to have that kind of experience. Are you encouraged with this conference? Because I see that you're very quiet. Walking worthily of the Lord issues from having the full knowledge of God's will. Such a walk is one in which we live in Christ, in which we live Christ. It's Philippians 1:19, where he speaks about the abundant supply, but it also speaks about that for me, living as Christ. We need to stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. And now we go into the burden of this outline, of this message. That we can carry it out by reading the points in that message. But I want to impress you about this wonderful Christ. What if we all read number 3, Roman numeral 3, the will of God for us is that we know the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, experience Him, and live Him as our life. We experience Him. We have to experience Him and live Him. We need the experience of living out Christ. We need that kind of experience. Letter A, the will of God is in Christ, concentrated in Christ and for Christ. Christ is everything in the will of God. Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 22. If we only read these verses and said the message is over, these verses would show us some aspects of this extensive Christ, inclusive Christ. And if we go into that burden that Paul has, is the first message would have fulfilled its purpose. Philippians 1:12. Give me thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. Christ is a portion, 1:12. Colossians 1:12. We put music to this hymn. We put music to this. What is his portion? Paul uses the word portion. That is the same word that is used to when land is distributed to the Israelites when they went in. It was a parcel. It was a parcel of land. Joshua distributed pieces of land, parcels of land. That is the word that Paul is using here. Christ is the portion. Number 13, who delivered us out of the authority of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The kingdom belongs to the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This, who is the image of the invisible God. And now listen. All the times that He is in capital. The firstborn of all creation. What is to be the firstborn of all creation? Well, He's the firstborn of the old creation, and He is the firstborn of the new creation. He's not the firstborn of the old creation because He's God, but He made Himself man. As a man, he's the firstborn of all creation. That word, firstborn in Greek, means the first and the only one. Because God is only interested in the first and the one and the unique, the only one. That's why when the angel of death went through Egypt, families had a lot of children. But who did the angel of death take? They took the firstborn, because for God, the firstborn represented all the family and all the children of Egypt. Christ is the firstborn of all creation. That word firstborn is not only the first, but after Him, there is no one else. After Him, there is no one else. He's the first and the only one. How good it is to read the Word. Because in Him, all things were created, in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and unto Him. Everything is unto Him. Verse 17. For a long time, I would ask myself about this force that holds things together, the thing of gravity. Why does not the moon crash with the earth? And in Him, and He is before all things, and all things cohere in Him. He is the magnet of the universe that keeps all things united. You know why there isn't so much unity in some marriages? Because Christ is not the magnet, because He does not have the preeminence. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. Somebody said once, how would He be the firstborn? He Lazarus resurrected before He did, and in the old, but all those that were resurrected died again. But He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the only one that was resurrected, and He's still alive. That He Himself might have the first place in all things. For in Him, all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, whether the things on the earth or the things in the heaven. And you, though once alienated and enemies in your mind because of your evil works, he now has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and without reproach before him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for him. Hallelujah for him. Letter B. For Christ to be the firstborn of both the original creation and the new creation means that he is both all-inclusive and extensive. The extensive Christ is a Christ who is more vast than the universe and who is everything to us. In Acts 3:18, this Christ is not only all-inclusive, this Christ fills everything. Inclusive includes everything. Extensive means that he fills everything with the purpose of the fulfilling of God's economy. Number two, Christ the Savior and Lord in whom we believe is limitless and inexhaustible. Since he is without limitation, the revelation concerning him must also be without limitation. That's why we have eternity. Because we need eternity to express this Christ. Wonderful, this wonderful Christ. The Christ unveiled in Colossians is the all-inclusive, extensive, preeminent one. The centrality and universality, the center and the circumference of God's economy. Colossians reveals the all-inclusive Christ, the one who is God, man, and the reality of every positive thing in the universe. In the universe. In tomorrow's message in the morning, we will see how is the reality of all positive things, not of the negative things, of the positive things in the universe. Number two, in God's economy, Christ is everything. God wants Christ and Christ alone, the wonderful, preeminent, all-inclusive Christ who is all and in all. Who is all and in all. He is all and in all. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul says the following. And have put on the new man, which is being renewed unto full knowledge, once again, the full knowledge, according to the image of him who created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all, and because he's all inclusive and in all. Because we need a lot of people for everything that Christ is and how extensive he is. I'm encouraged in this conference. I think you should be encouraged to experience this Christ, this wonderful Christ who is ours. That's another point. This Christ is mine. Corporately, he belongs to all of us. But if we say personally, Christ is mine. Christ is mine. Praise the Lord. When that occurs, Christ has the preeminence. Number three, the all-inclusive, extensive Christ is the center of God's economy. God's dispensing is altogether related to Christ and focused on him. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may make his home in your hearts. He wants to impart. I think at one time I shared that this hymn This hymn now has a new meaning for me. The hymn that says, extend Christ in my inner being. Extend and open the way from my spirit to the heart. To the heart. Extend yourself. Expand into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make your home today and have your way in all of my heart, Lord Jesus. He is a Christ that extends because he's extensive. Number four, God's will in his intention, in his economy, is to work the wonderful, all-inclusive, extensive Christ into our being, as our life and everything, so that we may become the corporate expression of the triune God. The will of God is that the all-inclusive, extensive Christ be our portion, our life, our constituent, and our peace. I want to read a portion from the morning watch. We don't have it. Sorry, we don't have it. Amen. Amen. This Christ is a good earth. This Colossians 2:7 says that we are rooted and built upon him, confirmed in the faith. We are rooted in Christ. We are rooted in Christ. As we are rooted in Christ, we need to absorb all his riches. Because we have been rooted in Christ, we must remain in him in a practical way, day by day. In our experience, we must be rooted in Christ. Nevertheless, if we forget about Christ in matters of drinking and eating, that means that in our experience, we are not rooted in him. Therefore, we do not remember Christ when we eat. Everything in the universe was created to remind us of Christ. Every time we eat, it's not that Christ is the food. That would be heresy if we say that, because that would be pantheism. Christ is not that, but that reminds me of Christ, that I have to eat and drink of him. When I drink water, I must remember that Christ is the water of life, and that he has been installed in my inner being. Everything should encourage us to experience this Christ. But listen. Listen to the following. Many saints spend time with the Lord in the morning. Nevertheless, even though they dedicate some time, maybe they don't absorb too much of his riches. Remember, a tree has roots, has big roots that holds it up. But the water comes through to the small and fine roots. Nevertheless, even though they dedicate time, they don't absorb too much of his riches. This is due to the fact that because they do it in a hurried way, if we want to absorb the riches of Christ as our food, we must not be rushed. We must not be in a hurry. If we want to absorb the riches of Christ, we must have new roots and tender roots. Perhaps some of us have old roots. Don't be old. Stay fresh and renew. Be renewed every day. Ask the Lord in prayer. Lord, I want my consecration to be fresh. I want to open my being to you once again. I want my roots to be tender so that they can absorb your riches. Lord, don't allow for them for my roots to be old. If you can see that Christ, we are rooted in Christ, or rich soil, you will be encouraged. Forget about your condition, of your failures, of your weaknesses. Just dedicate time to enjoy the Lord. If you dedicate enough time to absorb the Lord, you will be able to testify that in Christ, nothing is missing, that you will not lack anything. If we take a few minutes to enjoy the Lord every morning, the negative things that we experience during the day will not bother us. The mosquitoes will not bother us, or the scorpions, since the elements of this rich soil will reject these things. We cannot walk upon this land in a hurry. We must walk on this land slowly. Number three, letter D, God's will is that we have, that we, having the all-inclusive, extensive Christ, should walk in Him. Because we're not only rooted, we walk in Him. What is this that we are rooted and we're also walking? That's because He is all-inclusive and extensive. If we are rooted, He walks, and I walk. I walk being mingled with Him. Remember John 1:15. If you remain in me, and He speaks of our remaining in Him, and He remains in us. When we receive Him, we go into Him. But in our practical experience, for Him to be dwelling in us, we need that kind of experience. To walk in Christ is to live, act, behave, and have our being in Him. As we walk in Christ, we will be rooted in Him to have downward growth and be built up to have upward growth. We should estimate and evaluate everything according to the all-inclusive, extensive Christ. Christ is the governing principle of all genuine wisdom and knowledge, the reality of all genuine teaching, and the only measure of all concepts acceptable to God. Only when we have a clear view of the place of the all-inclusive, extensive Christ in God's economy will we be able to see through delusion and deception. Sometimes we are fooled by Satan because we have not seen this Christ. What if we read letter F? Brothers will read number one, and the sisters number two, and all together A and B. We need to be. We need to be infused, saturated, and permeated with the all-inclusive, extensive Christ until, in our experience, He is everything to us. The all-inclusive, extensive Christ in us. But we need to see Him, know Him, be filled with Him, be saturated with Him, and be absolutely one with Him. Number two, the brothers, we should allow the all-inclusive, extensive Christ to fill our whole being and to replace our culture with Himself. The more all of us together, the more Christ replaces our natural life and culture with Himself, the more we will be able to declare, to live is Christ. To us, to live will be the Christ who takes full possession of us, occupies us, and fills us with Himself. The all-inclusive, extensive Christ desires to replace every element of our natural life and culture with Himself, so that we may be the one new man as His corporate expression. This is the message of the book of Colossians.
Hey.
This is message number one about what is the will of God. I think there is still time to testify. There is time to testify. This has been provided by the all-inclusive Christ.